The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
To be able to stand in today for our pastor and to be able to bring God's word to you, I just have looked through my life, and just to tell you a little bit about me, my heart and my passion is for sitting in a pew. I have sat in a pew for so many years that I always, as I stand before and have an opportunity to teach or to preach, is to consider if I were sitting where you're sitting and what God would have for me to hear instead of something that sounds good to me. And so I like to talk about practical things. And one of the things that that has really been part of my life in these days is construction, the world of construction. You, sir, are a good man. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I am in construction right now. I work for a contractor who we build high-end custom homes. And it is it's an interesting world, the construction world. We talked about that a little bit this morning. And there's so much involved in all the processes of building a home. And I have been, in my lifetime, very keen to looking around me at the architecture. I love old buildings. I love things that are natural or naturally made, naturally standing, things as mountains and trees and the cypress woods that we have around here in the swamps, things that are naturally architecturally beautiful, as well as some things that man has put together that has a beauty to them. And so I'm looking around at a lot of things that are around us. I also pay attention to the materials that they're made of. We had an opportunity several years ago to move to Florida. We went down there. We were living in Fort Myers. I don't know if you know where Fort Myers is. It's down on the west coast of Florida, and a real unique place. We thought we were moving into the deep south. We ended up moving into the north. All those snowbirds who had migrated from up in the northeast had gone down there. And very different culture, very different mindset. I thought, you know, it was no big deal. I'm a native of Louisiana, and so it was going to be something real easy to get acclimated to. It was different. But one of the big differences that we noticed when we moved down there was the architecture. The architecture in Louisiana and the architecture in Florida is very different. And there's understandably reasons for that. You've got a lot of issues you have to deal with the coast, with the wind, and all that go along with it. But a majority of the homes down there are made of stucco. And the other one that's made out of is CBS block. It's just a concrete block. Now, if being from Louisiana, if you live in a block house, you were poor, weren't you? At least from my memory. You know, this just wasn't the way things were. So I thought we were going backwards. But that was just the way that the architecture was of that day. But I also learned some other unique things while we were in Florida and how the buildings and everything went along. They had a problem in Florida that we didn't understand until we had a home of our own built. There's a unique feature to the geography in Florida that under this sugar sand lies multitudinous rocks, limestones. Now, I'm not talking about little pebbles or rocks or gravel like we have here in Louisiana. I'm talking about stones that are as big around as this room. And you won't notice them until you start digging in them. If you look around, you'll see these limestones all over the place. If they're going through constructions, they'll actually make a mound of these limestone because they're having to go through and litter. They have these big old rakes that goes through and scoops those things up out of that sand so that the sand, the foundation, is going to be stable, are able enough to be able to do the work. We had, at the church where I was pastoring, a flag that we wanted to put in. It was right after 9/11, and we believed that was something that we should do to show our patriotism. And so we were going to do a flag, and the Florida building codes are nothing like Louisiana building codes. And for a simple little flagpole, we had to dig out an area 9 foot by 9 foot by 6 feet deep to put in this foundation. Needless to say, we got about 2 feet before we discovered we put that flagpole in the wrong place. Because there was a stone under there that no one knew about, of course, and it just was going to impede the way. So these stones are just a problem. Some of the people took these stones I was solving them. I said, what is the deal with that? They had, some of those stones were very interesting looking. They had natural features. It might have a hole in it where time had worn a little opening. And the person took that stone and put it in their front yard and decorated it. I never understood that. I still don't understand it. People look at things differently when it comes to the way that they have to kind of adjust to the things around them. You know, our environment that we are around us, we have issues, but stones are all part of us. We have homes that are made of them. We have our lives that are made of them. You go down to New Orleans, we were down there this weekend, and just how the intricacies of the stone masons have had such an impact in our world around us. If we actually will look, we will see how the idea of stones are part of our very world and around them. You know, there are stones that not only are beautiful, but there are stones that have historic value. If we look in the Bible shows that that in the very beginning there was an altar that had to be made, and it was made of stones. We see where there were great tragedies that happened, and after that tragedy, God called for an altar to be built. Or a victory, there was an altar to be built. When the Ten Commandments were made, they were made out of stone. When God brought down His wrath on the people for being rebellious after that first set of tablets were made, what did He use to destroy them? Stones. Stones has had a tremendous part of what we are and what we're doing in our world today. There was a remarkable account of stones, but the greatest stone that was ever built was a stone that rolled over the gravestone of Joseph of Arimathea. And that stone was designed specifically for that place. It was designed specifically for that sepulcher that was going to be used by Joseph when his time came and his family was going to put him in there. They were going to seal that stone over that tomb so that it couldn't be raided, that it would always become the place where Joseph died, and that was the place where his bones rested. But we know that that stone didn't cover Joseph's bones. It covered over the bones or the life, the body of Jesus. You ever thought about that stone that rolled over Jesus' tomb? What it must have looked like? I've seen artist depictions. I've seen photographs. I've never seen the same one twice. It's been an interesting thing. But nonetheless, it had a specific purpose. It had a specific design. It wasn't good for anything else other than to roll over the front of that tomb. That was what its purpose was. But I got to tell you something. That stone's original design turned into a whole different one. Because when that stone rolled away 3 days later, it became a foundation for what we find in our faith through Jesus Christ. Stones are important. Stones in the life of history, in Scripture, in the world around us, are all part of it. And the New Testament tells us even stories that just make you wonder how God's design is when it comes to the stones in our life. I want you to take your Bibles and open them to 1 Peter chapter 2. I want to talk about how it is that the stones in our lives are going to apply to our everyday living. You know why? I'm going to tell you. I won't tell you why. I'll let Scripture tell you why. I'm going to ask you, if you would, to stand in honor of God's Word. I know your pastor doesn't do this, but he's not here, and I can do what I want. 1 Peter chapter 2. And understand, Peter is setting some groundwork. He has set some groundwork. Let me rephrase that. For living a holy life. He said it in chapter 1 of 1 Peter about living holy, because God has a design for us and a purpose for us. And I think that's good news for us today. But listen to what he says. He continues his thoughts about being holy in chapter 2, verse 1. It says, therefore, rid yourselves of all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to Him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to Him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Are we seeing any themes going on here? In the Old Testament, the altars, are we catching that? I want you to pay attention now. Listen, there's nothing accidental in here. Verse 6, for in Scripture it says, see, I lay in a stone in Zion, a chosen, a precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become a capstone or a cornerstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you listen to this? But you, he's talking to believers, he's talking to those who have received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of the darkness into this wonderful light. Dennis, talking about that just a little while ago. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you give us something that is going to challenge us and stir us up, correct us, and give us strength and hope. Something that we might look forward to what you're doing, not because of us, but through us. And Father, we pray that we will be obedient to the hearing, to the listening, and to the doing of your word today. We do lift up our pastor for Pastor Morris and Miss Pat as they are away. Lord, just pray that you give them this time away of rest and respite, or that they might come back refreshed and renewed with a vigor and strength to lead us as we work together for the kingdom of God. We love you. We praise you. In the name of Jesus, we ask these things. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. You know, every one of us are on a journey in life. We're at different stages. I am at a stage in my life right now that I never thought I would get to or don't understand. I'm not sure what's going on. This past Tuesday, I have four children, as you know. I've got Alicia, she's 28. I got Marcus, who's 25. They have children. Between the two of them, they have four children. And then I have Allie, and she has a nine-month-old son. And then I have Regina, my baby. She's 18. She's right now at South Carolina at Fort Jackson going through her training to become a small engine mechanic. And she is about 105 pounds, 5'3". I can see her crawling through all that stuff. But this past Tuesday night, her boyfriend of a year or so, a Marine out of Belchase, came up to our home and while she's up there and sat us down and asked for permission to ask her to marry him. So that's our last one. See ya. That's right. So I think. No, it said I hope. I hope that. We're going through transitions and trials and changes in our lives. You know, it's just we just don't know. We don't know what to expect. We've not known where we're going. We kind of gave up on that a long time ago. But, you know, some of you are way beyond that. And some of you are way beyond that. No, I'm just, y'all didn't find that very funny. some of you haven't gotten there yet. We're all at different places in our lives. We're all at different stages, as it were, of growth and of places where we understand not only about life, but about what God has done in our lives and what God is doing through us. If you were to tell me 25 years ago I would be where I am today, I'd say you're out of your mind. Most of us would say the same thing because we can't comprehend what God is doing. But the truth of the matter is, it's up to us to let God do what God wants to do in us. And it comes down to the idea of whether or not we're going to allow Him to take us and to prune us and to prep us and to make us, and as it were, to put the stones and the building products that are necessary to bring honor and glory to Him. It's a matter of whether or not we're willing to allow Him to do that. It all comes down to what we are willingly, freely, free will, comes down to. And so this morning I want to talk about that portion of what God is trying to do in us together. If we are going to live a life that pleases and honors Him, we need to know that God is doing something that is beyond us. You see, the stones that we build into our lives will either help us or hinder us. The greatest stone in history is Jesus. So I want to ask you a question this morning. What kind of stones are in your life? I want to challenge you with four different types of stones. I want to talk to you about them. The rolling stone, somebody should have given me this theme song that I would have asked for, is the title of my message. You see, that stone that rolled away from the tomb of Jesus is the stone that we need to adhere to. Not the stone, folks, not that piece of whatever it was, limestone or whatever, but to know the power that was accomplished, that the victory that was accomplished. No one had ever died and had the power to be resurrected in themselves. We know Lazarus was resurrected, but he died again. Jesus was resurrected, and that stone showed that foundation in which we have. I want to talk to you about these four stones. And I want, first of all, talk about the first stone. It's a garden stone. A garden stone. When I was growing up, again, the youngest of five boys, I still have that 5 cents that I'm waiting to give somebody who can recall my brother's names or our family's names. You know what? Almost every time I recount that, I've been doing it on Wednesday night. By the way, if you haven't had an opportunity to come on Wednesday nights, I tell a little bit of secrets about myself. So if you want to know the inside scoop, you got to show up on Wednesday nights. So, but anyway, I've got four brothers. There's Ray, Ricky, Ronnie, Rocky, and Reggie. And all ours, all boys, and somebody said, oh, your poor mama. And so she's here today. She can adhere to that. We had a house. We lived at 3521 Green Tree Drive in Baton Rouge. That was our home residence. And in the backyard, in the corner, for as long as I could remember, my daddy planted a garden. And that garden was an important garden. It was something we hated cutting the grass because of that garden. It was a mess to cut the grass over there every year. But it was important to us because we liked good vegetables. We liked fresh vegetables. I personally love tomatoes. If you ever, ever feel the burden and need to bless me, go right ahead. I love tomatoes. Oh, there we go. We loved it. But you know, it was a constant thing. My mom and daddy, my daddy mostly, spent hours upon hours out in that garden getting it ready, pulling the weeds and pulling the things out of it that were hindering it. And interestingly enough, in a yard in the middle of Baton Rouge, it was interesting how much junk would migrate into that garden. I mean, it was just strange how things would show up. Now, I can't tell you that some of them we didn't throw in the garden as boys, but it was constantly working on it. But have you ever gone through a garden and picked out the stones and picked out the rocks and the junk that didn't belong? It's necessary. It's part of it. It has to be part of the process, because why? Why would you go to the trouble to do all that stuff? Because why? The garden? Nope. Nope. It's for that big old plate of butter beans and okra. Right? Isn't it true? It's true. You want the end result. You want the end result to be something that you're going to enjoy. And so you're going to go to the trouble and the effort to take care and pull those things out of that garden that are going to impede the growth. You know, we go through life every single day, And we are constantly attracting these stones, this garbage, these things that are just kind of weighing us down and getting in the way and impeding the growth, the spiritual growth that we should be having in our lives. But you know, that's the reality because we are in a fallen world. But the truth of the matter is, we need to be constant. We need to be consistent about going in and picking them out. We do. We sit there and say, oh, well, that's not that big a stone. It's just a little pebble. It won't hurt anything. That weed, man, it won't hurt a thing. It won't stop. And just let it go. It'll add a few nutrients to the ground. All that dirt in there, it's all good dirt. I don't need to go in there and till that soil up. I mean, it's okay. But what do we get at the end of the day? What do we get? Typically, nothing. It won't grow. There's no constant method that's going on to where we're caring for that thing. You see, the need that we have in our lives, we need to say, Lord, what is in my life that doesn't belong? Help me take those things out. Lord, show me that which is hindering the growth that I ought to be having in my life. As a child of God, it should be my desire to not only please Him, but take the Holy Spirit that He's giving me and grow in that relationship. See, you've been given a deposit, a down payment of the Holy Spirit. That isn't there just because He just said, okay, well, I'll just give you this little gift. He gives you the gift of the Holy Spirit for a reason, for a purpose. But if we're not cultivating it, if we're not trying to get it to grow, it's just going to sit there and stagnate. Not that it's going to go away. Not that we're going to lose that Holy Spirit, folks, but that Holy Spirit cannot do what its purpose is. The Scripture tells us here, it says, therefore, in verse 1 of chapter 2, rid yourselves. You know what that means? It means take notice. Look around. On Wednesday nights, I kind of did a little bit here. The first things that I like to do is say, what have you seen God do this week? What have you seen God do this week? And you know, sometimes we have to sit there and scratch our heads and say, well, I didn't see anything. You know what I think about that? Were we really looking? Because I think God is at work all around us. I think He's doing some awesome things all around us, in front of us, beside us, in spite of us. Especially that. That's right. He's able. He's able to do all that stuff, but we ought to be willing to look and see what He's doing. But the problem is, if we're not ridding ourselves, as verse 1 says, of all those things, of the malice and the slander, He goes through those individual specifications of things that need to come out of your life, then guys, those little garden stones are staying there. They're impeding our growth. They're not doing, and they're not allowing us to become what we need to become. In Luke chapter 8, anybody know that parable that Jesus said in Luke chapter 8? It's called the parable of the sower. Y'all know that parable? Jesus said that a farmer went out and he spread his seeds out into the ground, and some seed fell on good soil and it grew. Some seed fell upon the thorny soil and it was choked out. He talked about what happens. There are some things in our lives that belong, but folks, there are many things that don't. There are many things in our lives that need to be rejected or ejected, as it were. We need to know that our lives are going to attract these stones, but we need to be ready and willing to look for what God wants to remove. Now I want to point out, look at verse 3 for me for just a minute, and you'll understand why I'm bringing this up. Look at verse 3. It says, Now he's talking about this, why you need to get rid of these things and why you need to pursue the good things. All the reason is, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Now I grew up, family of 5. I was the youngest of 5 boys. There was no such thing as seconds in our home. If you didn't get it the first time, you don't shake your head, Mama. you didn't get a chance to go back the second time. But listen to me. I can tell you this. There are things in my married life now that I And my wife is a terrible cook, can't you tell? She is a wonderful cook, but my wife cannot cook some things the way my mother cooks. Now, I don't complain about that, I promise you. But I remember the tastes. Those tastes. I remember the taste of that red gravy and biscuits that my grandmother made after coming home from squirrel hunting up in Kentwood. And she'd have that out on the table. She made those biscuits from scratch. And I'll never forget the taste of that. And I'm 40-something years old. I'm 46 years old. And I still remember when I was a kid, the taste and how good that was. And say, boy, I wish somebody could make that as good as that taste. And I mean, we could go on and on about this. And folks, what Peter's trying to say is, he said, now that you have tasted that which is good, you have received the Holy Spirit in your life, why would you not long for more of the same? You remember the days when you got saved, when you first got saved, you were on fire? I mean, it was like an explosive event that happened in your life. What happened since then? Has it all been peaches and cream? No, but you can look back on that time and say, that's I remember that taste. I want it to taste again the same. You know it can. It still can taste that same way. There's a second kind of stone, and that is an ornamental stone. An ornamental stone. I've read about great artists, and I know most of us know the saying that a genuine artist who builds or who creates something out of stone always says in their mind is, that stone, all I have to do is chip away the things that don't look like whatever it is that they're creating. And that's going to be the image. It was already in there. It was, and that, you know, actually, that's true. That design is sitting in there, but it takes the hand of the master to chip away those things that don't belong, to create and to fashion and to mold and to make. These are very difficult things. These are very interesting things that happens in our lives. You know, in the particular world that I'm in, I build for clients that build for homes anywhere from $600,000 to $2 to $3 million homes. And even those homes aren't anything near like some of the homes we saw in Florida that were $12 and $15 million homes. A good friend of mine is a wood salesman, and he had an opportunity to go down and walk through some of these homes. Never had I seen such intricacies in the floor or in the walls or in the kitchen. You know what most of them were, almost all of them were made out of? Stones. They took those beautiful stones, and the craft mason would take and either they build it into the floor or into the wall or throughout the house. There, the touch of that master who could do things that no one else could do and create such a beautiful process. But you know what was more important than that? It wasn't just the stonework and the masonry and the beauty of it. It was that it was put on display for all the world to see. There are some beautiful designs that sit in museums that people are able to go by and look at and just be absorbed by the grandeur of that particular sculpture. What would it be like if that sculpture were sitting in a back room? It was under a tarpaulin and never saw the light of day. It would still have its beauty, wouldn't it? It would still be a master work of art. But it wouldn't be out on display. You see, guys, God has given us the beauty and the grandeur of a stone that is shaped and being shaped by His very hand. But there is a reason for it, so that it might be put on display. Well, I don't want to stand up in front of people and preach. Am I asking you to stand up in front of people and preach? I don't want to be a missionary. Am I asking you to be a missionary? Now, God may ask you to preach. God may ask you to be a missionary. But where God wants you is where He's going to place you. And the question is, are you going to be on display for Him? Or are you going to hide His beauty in your life? God's gone to great trouble, you think? He sent His only Son to die on a cross for you and for me before I was even born. He knew me. He loved me, and He laid His life down for me. He gave me everything. He brought me into the kingdom in 1977. I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior at Glorieta, New Mexico on the second floor. 40 people and teenagers were crowded into that room that Tuesday night. And the Holy Spirit came over me, and I realized, even though I grew up, all five of those boys went to church every Sunday, every Wednesday. We were always there. And I walked down the aisle at some point when I was younger. But in 1977, I received Jesus Christ into my life. It was a specific event. It took place then. And Jesus gave me the Holy Spirit into my heart and my life. And folks, I was a perfect human being afterwards. I never did anything wrong. I never went where I wasn't supposed to go. It was all just peaches and cream. Thank you very much. Appreciate that word of encouragement. But God was in the process of shaping me. He was shaping me and cultivating me and preparing me for things that He had in mind, that He had in purpose, that He wanted to do with me that I could not see. But because He wanted to put me on display. Now, folks, listen to me. Some of you are on display by going down into the ninth ward and feeding people. Some of you are on display by taking care of children. Praise God. Who's back there? Fran and Jamie, thank you. I hope that you're watching this. We are just so grateful that God is using you in that way. And all of you who participate in that. God is going to use you in a way that He's already got in His mind. He already sees the stone. He already sees this stone. We talked about this a few weeks ago, and Pastor's been bringing this up about this geode. I mean, how is it that we can't see that? That's all we see. That's all the world sees. That's all that's there. But yet God says, I have got such a great plan for you. Won't you just let me do it? Won't you just let me do it? Ornamental stones. Ornamental stones that are going to bring honor and glory to Him if we will just let Him do it and then be put on display so that He can be glorified and exalted. Now, let me say something about that. If you were to go and see the Michelangelo, isn't that the statue? Statue of David, that's it. That's what I said. The Statue of David by Michelangelo. And you stood there and you looked at the beauty and the majesty of that. And you looked at that and said, David, you did a great job. David, you are the most beautiful creature. I am so glad that you did what you did. That's the way we would do that, right? Who would we give the glory to? To the crafter, right? You see, I'm convinced of this. When man gets the glory, it's the end of it. When God gets the glory, it's only the beginning. You see, we need to remember that it's not us shaping us. It's not us picking ourselves up by our bootstraps. It's not about us doing what we can do and saying, look what I did. It's about to God be the glory. He alone is worthy. He shaped me. He prepared me. And He has made me into His ornamental stone because He's got a purpose. There's a third stone I want to talk to you about, and that is broken stones. Broken stones. We build around here a lot of brick homes, almost all brick homes. We do some stucco. But in a brick home, a lot of us don't really pay attention to some of these things. If you look closely at a brick home, there's a design or a pattern on the wall. A single color brick it has its place, but most of our brick houses has certain patterns that go through the brick. Most of us could look at that and say how pretty it is. But a mason can look at that and see one stone out of place, and it bothers it. And we've had it on many occasions where we build the homes that we build, where a homeowner, of course, it's something that you do when you're having it built, you pay extra special attention, will go around and pick out that brick is broken, that brick is broken. Most of the time, the mason already knows about it. But a good mason can go in and dig that out, pull it out, and replace it. And you would never know that it was a broken stone. You know, we have issues in our lives. I don't know, maybe you don't. I just know I do. I have issues in my life. Things that I would say would be broken stones. Times when I've gone through and can look back and say, man, that was a devastating experience in my life. And we can look at that time and we have a choice. We can either lament in it, we can wallow in it. Look that one up. We can wallow around in it. We can just kind of say, oh, woe is me. Or we can say, Lord, I need you to replace that broken stone in my life. Now, that doesn't mean that the pain is forever gone. It doesn't mean that it's a memory that can be erased. But it is something that happens in every one of our lives. Now, there are people that I meet on a daily basis whose life is nothing but broken stones. Their spiritual being is nothing but brokenness. And they look at things and they just don't want to hear. They just don't want to see it. They don't want to experience it. Interestingly enough, before God brought us here, I had an opportunity to be joined to the French Quarter Wedding Chapel in New Orleans. And they perform weddings for people that come in town, and I'm one of the people that do these weddings. And Friday evening, Shannon and I had an opportunity to go over and perform a wedding in City Park for a couple. Now, I get instructions. I don't generally get to meet these people. This is just one of those things that goes along with this particular field. I don't get to meet them before the event. But I was told, don't pray. Don't read Scripture. Don't be a Baptist. Sorry about the last one. And I scratched my head and I said, why? What's the deal? And I said, well, okay, I'll adhere. He said, just do a justice of the peace sermon, ceremony. I said, okay, under my breath. And I got there and I always ask about it. Usually get to meet the groom, of course, beforehand. It turns out that they had lost a child together. And it had made them so bitter towards God that they just didn't want to have anything to do or to hear about it. And so I felt impressed, and I have actually a guide. It's in another Bible that I use. And I have a scripture that I read. And I didn't ask him if I could do it or not, but I read that scripture. And I just believed that that was something that needed to go out before them. Because what was going to happen is that after the wedding, about 15 minutes later, they were going to have a memorial service for that lost child. Now, I didn't get to participate in that. But what had happened in them had broken them so badly that they just were useless in understanding. It was useless to get them to understand God's design in that. Now, what God will do, the seeds are planted. God has to give the increase. God will do what God will do. But folks, there are people who are walking around us, and I heard a pastor say one time, and I'm convinced of this, but there is a broken heart in every pew in our churches across the land. There are people that are hurting. There are people that are going through difficult times and have gone through difficult times, and they're wondering, God, why am I going through this? And some of us can look and say, why do I just feel like a broken stone? Folks, this is part of us. This is part of what we go through. All of us have these times of brokenness. Yet I am convinced of something. It's in that brokenness that God is able to bring life. You see, it's only then that I'm able to examine my life and say, God, where are you? If you're here this morning and God has you here for a purpose, folks, it's not by accident that you're here today. I want to ask you a question. Has there ever been a time in your life where you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? I mean, there is no question about it. There is not a scintilla of a question in your mind that has actually transpired in your life. Have you done that? Have you asked Jesus into your heart? Do you have that hope that transcends human understanding? Because you see, if you don't, that brokenness that's in you is only going to continue to break. And if you look at the idea behind stones that are broken, unfortunately, all it does is create chaos. It just causes things to crumble. It causes other stones around it to bear more weight than they should. And then those stones crumble. And ultimately, it comes to a difficult time. I want to say one other thing in response to this. If you have never received Jesus Christ in your life, there is no greater time than right now. But if you have, and you are still struggling with that broken part, that broken stone, as it were, in your life, will you allow God to bring healing? The only way you can do that, listen to me, the only way that stone can be mended is to say, God, I need you to fix this problem in my life. You can't fix it, folks. What's done is done. The issue has happened. But God can bring healing in a broken heart and a broken stone. There's a fourth stone. I want to close with this. We've talked about a garden stone. We've talked about an ornamental stone. We've talked about a broken stone. But there's a fourth stone, and that is a choice stone. A choice stone. How many of you have been to Home Depot or Lowe's? I'm going to ask some of you guys and girls, have you ever gone and tried to pick out lumber? Any of y'all know what a number two piece of wood is? It's guys? Yeah. That's actually what number four used to be, which was kind of a trash board. Number two is supposed to be a high-quality piece of material. But if you go out and look in some of our lumber yards today, it'll amaze you how crooked these things are. Well, there's a whole lot of reasons behind it. Nonetheless, I get real picky when I go to these places. I go in and I will go through three or four layers before I find the two or three boards that I'm looking for. Because I'm looking for the select. I'm looking for the stuff that when I go to start putting that together, whether it's at my house or at somebody else's house, I don't want to fight it. I don't want to have to take it and figure out how I'm going to twist it or how I'm going to have to address it or if I'm going to put sheetrock up on it, how that board is going to be weighed, bowed out like that. I want the best thing that is accessible and available to me because the finished product is going to have to live up to my standards. I'm looking for the choice pieces because that's just the blocks. That's just the building blocks for what the end result or the end dynamic of what I'm trying to achieve is going to be. If I don't pick out the good stuff, when I get that set of cabinets all finished and I go to push that door in, it's going to, because I picked out warped material, it's not going to fit right. It's not going to look good. If I pick out a broken doorknob, and it's just not going to work the way it's supposed to. I'm going to pick out the most important stones and use them because I've got a plan in mind. If you still have your Bibles open, look at verse 9 of chapter 2. It says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. Why? That you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful life. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Folks, those of you who are in Christ Jesus, you are not an ordinary being. You are a chosen people. Not of some being or deity. You are chosen people of the Most High God, who knew you before the foundation of the world and put His hand on you and said, you are my child, I've got a plan for you and a design for your life. Don't go around and say, woe is me, I'm useless, I'm worthless, I have no purpose. That's, let me give you the Latin, the thing that I learned in some of the best seminary classes I've ever been in. You ready for this? It's going to be a big old long word. You ready? It's called baloney. It's just not true. God's purpose for you is absolute best. You and I are choice stones. We have been chosen from the quarry. And He has a great plan and a purpose for us. Not to just look at us and put Him, we being put in His own little private display case, but for us to be on display for the world, to bring glory and honor to Him and to Him alone. We are choice stones. Folks, we talk about being pro-choice. That just kind of blows my mind. Because the only choice is God's choice. God has chosen us. He has chosen that infant, folks. He has chosen that infant before the foundation of the world. Who in the world are we to interfere with it? That blob of goo, as it's being called, that lifeless, devoid of any kind of value that says it can just be eradicated, that's of no value. God didn't design that. God didn't have anything to do with it, did He? Wrong. God's ways are not our ways. You see, when we are given the Holy Spirit in the instant of salvation, when we are born again, we are not only set and secure, we are sure. I was the last in the Otis and Avis Hope line. But you know, if I went out tomorrow and I changed my name and I moved to Africa and I never had anything else to do with my family ever again, I would still be a hope. Because that blood courses through my veins. And as Pastor Morris has been going through this, that DNA still resides in me. And folks, when we are born again, when we are brought into the kingdom of God through His perfect will and for His specific purpose, we'll always be His chosen stones. So I wonder this morning, do you have garden stones in your life? Do you have those things that just don't belong? Are they there? You know, the only way you can get them out is to work on them. The only way you can get them out is say, Lord, reveal these to me. Lord, let me see. And Lord, give me the Spirit that dwells within me to be able to bring those out. Maybe you come this morning and there's a brokenness in your life. There's a broken stone in there that doesn't belong. You can get rid of that today. Placing it in the Master's hand. Saying, Lord, bring back that healing in my life. All because He has a plan for you. He has a purpose for you because you're a choice. You're chosen. You're set apart. Let's pray together. Father, I thank You for how marvelous and how wonderful Your Word is. That gives us strength and gives us hope and gives us understanding. But Father, I just pray that Your Holy Spirit might take what we've heard today, Lord, and strengthen us. Lord, strengthen me. Let me remember. Let me realize. Let me consider and contemplate what You're doing. And Lord, to be able to see those things that are impeding my growth, that are stopping me from being what You want me to be, Lord, and allow You to remove them. To take out and weed. Get rid of those weeds that don't belong. Father, I pray for those that are here this morning, Lord, such as myself, Lord, who have broken stones, that today they will bring them to You, that they'll allow You to bring about healing and hope. And Father, when we leave this place, Lord, that we'll realize and remember that we are more than just Your child, We are to be put on display so that you might be brought glory and honor, for you alone are worthy. Father, again, we commit ourselves into your hands. We pray that you would just use us, use New Beginnings Church and the work that you have for us, Lord, we as your body. Let it move among our community and our world in such a way that transforms men and women's lives. We love you. We thank you and we praise you. In the name of Jesus, we ask these things. Amen. 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 Let's stand up together. Do remember about a number of things that are going on this week. Next Sunday, we're going to have a speaker that was with us a few weeks ago. That was Jim Dixon. He came and did, y'all, I'm sure all y'all remember, the study that he did on the Lord's Supper. But he's going to come. Pastor Morrison's Pat are supposed to be back next Sunday, but he is going to have Jim fill in, and so you don't want to miss that. And pray about what God would have you give to the Globe Ministry. And I think the overall need was around $3,000. Is that right? With the insurance? Okay, yeah, about $3,000. So, again, if you can't give today, you pray about what God would have you to give. You come back and give. But there is a basket there on the back as we go out today. Is there any other words, anything else that I missed? Y'all come out Wednesday night. And we spend time together just seeing what God has done and spending time in the Word. And I look forward to seeing you with us. Y'all have a wonderful day. God bless you.